the fourth from text number 11 to text number 14. And I'll read the translation for text 11, 12, and 13, and then we'll do the Sanskrit of that which is on the board for text number 14. Translation of text number 11. The goddess Parvati said, "Alas, this upstart now received a post from which to punish the shameless persons like us. Has he been appointed ruler, carrier of the rod of punishment? Is he now the only master of everything?" Text number 12. "Alas, Lord Brahma, who has taken his birth from the lotus flower, does not know the principles of religion, nor do the great saints like Bhrigu and Narada, nor the four Kumaras, headed by Sanat Kumar, Manu and Kapila, have also forgotten the religious principles. I suppose it to be because of this that they have not tried to stop Lord Shiva from behaving improperly." Text number 13 also has a short purport from Srila Prabhupada. "This Chitraketu is the lowest of Kshatriyas, for he has impudently overridden Brahma and the other demigods by insulting Lord Shiva, upon whose lotus feet they always meditate. Lord Shiva is personified religion and the spiritual master of the entire world, and therefore Chitraketu must be punished." Short purport by Srila Prabhupada. "All the members of the assembly were exalted brahmanas and self-realized souls, but they did not say anything about the conduct of Lord Shiva, who was embracing the goddess Parvati on his lap. Chitraketu nonetheless criticized Lord Shiva, and therefore the opinion of Parvati was that he should be punished." So this brings us to the text number 14, which is on the board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Nayam Arhati Vaikuntha. Padamulopasarpanam Sambhavita Matistabda Sadhubi Paryupashitam Nayamarati Vaikuntha Padamulopasarpanam Sambhavita Matistabda Sadhubi Paryupashitam Nayamarati Vaikuntha Padamulopasarpanam Sambhavita Matistabdha Sadhubi Paryupashitam Prabhus. Nayamarati Vaikuntha Paramulapasarpanam Sambhavita Matistabdha Sadhubi Paryupashitam Nayamarati Vaikuntha Padamulapasarpanam Sambhavita Matistabdha Sadhubi Paripasitam Nayamarati Vaikuntha Padamulapasarpanam Sambhavita Matistabdha Sadhubi Paripasitam Nayamarhati Vaikuntha Padamulopasarpanam Sadhu Vita Mati Sadha. Sadhu Vita Upasitam. Ladies. I am Narati Vaikuntha. Paramulo Pasapanam. Sambhavita Mati Sadha. Sadhu Vipa Upasitam. Mataji's. I am Arati Vaikuntha. Padamulo Pasarpanam. Sambhavita Mati Sadha. Sambhavita Upasitam. I am Arhati Vaikuntha. Padamulo Pasarpanam. Sambhavita Mati Sadha. Sadhu Vipa Upasitam. Nah, not. I am this person. Arhati deserves Vaikuntha Padamula Upasarpanam. The approaching of the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Sambhavita Mati. Considering himself highly esteemed. Stabdaha. Impudent. Sadubihi. By great saintly persons. Paryupashitam. Worshipped. Translation. This person is puffed up because of his achievements, thinking, I am the best. He does not deserve to approach the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, which are worshipped by all saintly persons. For he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. If a devotee thinks that he is very much advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Again, this instruction by Lord Chaitanya is applicable. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahisuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree. Devoid of all sense of false prestige, are ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is humble and meek, one cannot qualify to sit at the lotus feet of the Lord. Om agyanata mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshushin militam jena tasmai sri guruve namaha sri tachanna manovistam. So, Stapitam jena bhutale, swayam rupa, kadamayam, dadati svapadantikam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pista Bhutale, Shumata Jatak Swamiti, Charge Vitani Tekhapadeta. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pista Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine, Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine, Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pashachate Shatarine. Panchakalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Hari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hari Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this entire Leela, which is unfolding, involving Lord Shiva, Parvati, and Chitraketu, is one of the most complex Leelas in the Bhagavatam in terms of perspectives, varying perspectives or points of view, points of vision. And His Grace Pankajangri Prabhu touched on that on Wednesday, on some of those things. For example, we may see Chitraketu as a pure devotee, also Chitraketu as committing an offense. Parvati as a chaste woman protecting her guru, protecting her husband. Also we can see that perhaps Parvati chastises and gives the curses a pure devotee prematurely. So those are some of the views or angles of vision. Shiva can be seen as acting inappropriately. Also Lord Shiva can be seen, and as we know, is above all rules and regulations, and therefore cannot make an offense. So in these leelas, we should not be too quick when reading these stories to make judgments or to think that we understand what is going on just by viewing the surface which is presented to us. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada takes the angle of vision that Chitraketu has made an offense and that he's puffed up, he's lost all humility, and he's acting inappropriately, and therefore he's cursed. But as we know, the various angles of vision are also there, and various hierarchies of understanding the Leela. For this instance, we'll focus on the lesson at hand, which is that to be careful of offenses and to maintain a humble and tolerant state of mind when dealing with the Vaishnavas. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj, in a class that I was listening to, he gives a very nice example of how these leelas are taking place and why they are taking place, what is the actual essence and who is the beneficiary of these leelas. So he gives the example of a mother-in-law. So who amongst the ladies has a mother-in-law? And how many of you like to listen to the instructions given by your mother-in-law? Not so many. I didn't think so. So Maharaj gives the example that just like if a mother-in-law is trying to instruct her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law generally is unruly and, you know, so much still attached to her own family, to the husband, but not so much attached to the mother-in-law. So when her son and her daughter-in-law are visiting her house, the mother will instruct her own daughter in front of her daughter-in-law. And by doing that, by giving that instruction to her own daughter, she teaches her daughter-in-law also. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj is giving the example that we are just like unruly daughters-in-law. And perhaps we don't like to take instruction so easily. So the Lord uses His very dear associates, just the way that the mother-in-law uses her own daughter who is closest to her. The Lord uses His own very dear associates to teach us, unfortunate souls in this miserable condition of human life, to teach us these important lessons. So we should not think when we read these leelas we are dealing with ordinary people like you and I. We are dealing with great saintly people in most aspects who are very dear servitors of the Lord, and for our benefit are playing out these various dramas and leelas so that we can learn something. So we can see also in many places in the Bhagavatam this is going on with Jaya and Vijaya as well, who are very confidential servants of the Lord but take on the form of demons for the Lord's pleasure to engage in in a chivalrous act of fighting. And the entire Bhagavad Gita is spoken to Arjuna. And this instruction is meant for the whole of humanity, but the Lord does gives that instruction to his dear most close devotee and associate. If we look at the verse that is highlighted throughout this Leela, Trinadapi Sunichena, we need to understand what is the definition of humility. Humility, tolerance, what is the desire for false prestige? What are these things actually defined? So in Bhagavad Gita 13, chapter 13, verse 8 to 12, there are 20 things given by the Lord which are declared to be true knowledge. Lord also states that everything else apart from these things is actually considered to be ignorance. I won't read the entire 4 or 5 verses, but I will read from the purport. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, as for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. This material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. So, Srila Prabhupada says two things. He says that humility means that we should not be anxious for honor and for that satisfaction. By nature, the conditioned material living entity is always hankering for that kind of respect or praise. So we should not be anxious to get it, and when it comes, we should know it for what it is and not accept it in that sense. That it's not something favorable for our advancement in spiritual life. So that sums up Srila Prabhupada's definition of humility. Also from the last paragraph in that same purport. To think oneself God is most puffed up. Although the living entity is always being kicked by the stringent laws of material nature, he still thinks, I am God. Because of ignorance, the beginning of knowledge, therefore, amanitva, humility, one should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth. So, if this puffed up attitude is manifest and humility is not developed in the heart, then we are actually becoming subordinate to material nature by developing true humility. As stated in Trinadapi Sunichena, we are taking shelter of the Lord. Otherwise, we take shelter of the material energy. And we all know where that has led us in our lives. There's a very nice story Tamal Krishna Maharaj also gives pertaining to the spiritual master. If we are very fortunate, the spiritual master or our senior devotees around us will help to keep us humble by giving us lessons along the way, by giving us instruction. And hopefully we have the ears to receive that instruction. Tamal Krishna Maharaj tells a very nice story when he was a new devotee and in Los Angeles. Srila Prabhupada called him to his room and he had a private darshan. And Prabhupada proceeded to explain to him the entire nature of the universe from the highest planets down to the lowest. Starting at Krishna Loka, he described the universe in very vivid detail. And Maharaj says he was sitting there thinking, such good fortune I have. Srila Prabhupada is instructing me personally in the entire structure of the universe. He was feeling very good. And Prabhupada said he started to come down to the material world and from Krishna Loka down to the material universe and then to the earth planet and then on the earth planet to the continent of North America. And then within the continent of North America, they came to Los Angeles. And then from Los Angeles, they came down to the street. Prabhupada said, now we are in La Cienega Boulevard. And now we are sitting in this room. And there is Tamal Krishna Das, who thinks he is the controller of everything. So Maharaj said, and then my bubble popped. So very nicely, Srila Prabhupada gave a sweet instruction to him about being humble and who you actually are. What is our true nature? How insignificant actually we are. Very, very interesting story. Also, he gives one example of Srila Prabhupada when he was in one lecture given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and Maharaj was speaking, giving a very nice class. Srila Prabhupada that time was sitting in the class. Next to him, one of his fellow classmates started to speak to him. So Srila Prabhupada turned to acknowledge that person. Immediately, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj stopped the class and said, "Oh, Abhay Charan Babu, you want to come here and lecture?" So this is quite a heavy chastisement during the Bhagavatam class or whatever class was being given at the time. So, Tamal Krishna Maharaj related that Srila Prabhupada said that instruction was so valuable, so sweet, that he appreciated that so much more than any kind of praise that might have come. And that should be the nature of us as devotees trying to advance in spiritual life, that we accept the chastisement when it's given in love, and even when it's not. That teaches us how to be humble and how to follow this this practice of chanting Hare Krishna properly. Tolerance. So tolerance, also a definition given of tolerance in the purport to that verse in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, verses 8 to 12, the definition of tolerance given by Srila Prabhupada. Tolerance means that one should be practiced to bear insult and dishonor from others. If one is engaged in the advancement of spiritual knowledge, there will be so many insults and so much dishonor from others. This is expected because material nature is so constituted. Even a boy like Prahlad, who was only 5 years old, was engaged in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, was endangered when his father became antagonistic to his devotion. The father tried to kill him in so many ways, but Prahlad tolerated him. So, there may be many impediments for making advancement in spiritual knowledge, but we should be tolerant and continue our progress with determination. So even Prahlad Maharaj was actually the victim of his father to the extent that he was trying to kill him in various ways. Instead, he was tolerant. So how many of us can say that people are actually trying to kill us in so many different ways? Sometimes we have to tolerate some small insult or some misunderstanding or some affliction of the material energy, but not many of us are hounded to the extent that Prahlad Maharaj was, and still he's a shining example of tolerance. False prestige. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the desire for enjoyment, prestige, we must take the broom of the holy name, the broom of Vaishnava etiquette, we must sweep it out of our hearts hundreds and thousands of times every day because it keeps coming back. He said, you are delivered by Krishna the very day you are free from the desire for prestige. That is the day you will go back to Godhead, not until then. Not until then. So, how many of us can say that we are free from the desire for prestige? Or that when prestige comes, we don't court it. We don't feel good about it. Even if we're not hankering for it, maybe it comes and then we accept it. Feeling very nice that I received such and such praise. or such and such position. If we look at the importance further of the Trinadapi Sunichana verse, Srila Prabhupada, in one very nice story also, his godbrother, Dr. OBL Kapoor, visited Srila Prabhupada once and received a tincture, a medicine that Srila Prabhupada had made, a tonic. So he accepted gratefully the gift of Srila Prabhupada, but he inquired, "That's a nice gift of yours, I must accept it, but I wish you would give me the tonic for which you yourself take the tonic of Krishna Prem." Prabhupada said, "I don't have the tonic, but I have the formula." So Dr. OBL Kapoor said, "Oh, wonderful, if it's not a secret, tell me what it is." And Srila Prabhupada said, "No, it's not a secret at all. Trinadapi, Sunichana, Tarodapi, Sahisuna, Amadina, Manadena, Kiptaniya Sadahari. This is the formula, and I'm going to preach it all over the world," Srila Prabhupada told him. So Prabhupada understood that this is the essence of everything, even that it's the formula for Krishna Prem, the tonic for Krishna Prem. Kumarupa Prabhu, some of you may know, dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada and servant of the cows, very simple devotee. I was speaking with his dear friend Hansarupa Prabhu this morning, and he was telling me how immediately he was doing editing work, Kumarupa Prabhu, for Srila Prabhupada's books, and immediately he read that the Trinadapi Sunichana verse should be worn around the neck of the devotee. He had it tattooed on his neck, and he had never done anything like that in his life before. He was a very simple person, not fond of marking his body tattoos, any kind of ostentation. He did it very quietly, and he had the lotus feet of Rishi Sri Radha Krishna as a medallion hanging around that garland of Trinadapi Sunichana around his neck. Actually, he and Hansarupa Prabhu was telling me he's the embodiment of that verse in many ways, because he came from a very wealthy family, very wealthy background. He left all of that and lived very simply in Vrindavan, tending the cows. So there are great devotees in our movement who take up these instructions very seriously, and as should we. So chanting Hare Krishna and developing this quality of humility and tolerance, it's very important for us in the fact that we live in a society of devotees. We live together in communities generally, and actually that's recommended for our spiritual life and our spiritual practice. So being in such close proximity to other devotees, there is always the chance that we can commit an offense. So what is offense? Vaishnav aparad. Actually, this is when the mind starts to tell us that somebody else is deficient in some kind of area, that I am superior in some way. This kind of attitude is developing and offenses start to come. The result of these offenses can be quite severe, as we see. For our benefit, we see in this lila that the result of such an offense can be the immediate banishment into a demonic life, demonic family. Of course, with Chetraketu, he became Vritrasura, but he was never truly a demon. Always a great devotee. But in our situation, we should be thinking that Vaishnava aparad can send us to a hellish condition of life, and it's true, it can. These offenses have to be very carefully guarded against. From the nectar of instruction, it is said, a person who is very faithfully engaged in the worship of the deity in the temple, but who does not know how to behave towards devotees or people in general, is called a prakrita, bhakta, or kanishta adhikari. So we should be careful to be mindful to try to move past this stage in our devotional practice, as if we remain in the Kanishtha stage, there is always a very grave chance of committing offense. Generally, by committing offenses, what can happen is that a person may start to develop an idea that I'll move away from the devotees. So not always the reaction to the offense is some kind of huge calamity, but it can start to act in the mind that, yes, I'm hankering for some more material, better situation of life, let me move and experience that, or go after that material situation a little more, let me improve my finances. For that reason, I have to move away from the temple for some time, away from this devotee community, like that. So actually, sometimes when that's happening, what it is, it's the accumulation of offenses acting, and Maya coming in to make the devotees, to take the devotee out of the association of the community of devotees. And often that's Krishna's mercy to stop more offenses from taking place. So we should be a little careful whenever we're considering putting distance between ourselves and the devotees. Always try to take shelter of the devotees, and always try to take shelter of senior devotees. Even in the Kanishtha stage, it's recommended that those devotees take shelter of those more senior. With the association of more senior devotees, you might think that there is a even more tendency to commit a greater offense, but in the association of senior devotees, often those devotees won't exhibit as many faults as the newer devotees. And therefore the Kanishtha Adhikari may develop in that association by practicing sincerely and accepting the guidance of the senior devotees. So His Holiness Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj recently and in GBC College in Wada in Mumbai gave some very nice classes on offenses, and he quoted Srila Jiva Goswami from the Sandarbhas saying that 100 offenses, after 100 offenses we become hypocritical. So the definition of hypocritical is that we behaving in a way that suggests one has higher standards or more noble beliefs than is the case. So that we, that's the definition of puffed up. That, okay, I am this and I am that and I am, you know, so much advanced, when it's not true. If we commit 1,000 offenses, the regulative principles become hard to follow. So for anybody who's struggling to follow the regulative principles in any way, we may try to take stock of ourselves and think that, try to see that maybe we are making offenses to the extent that we've made 1,000 or more of those offenses. So Krishna is giving us quite a lot of rope actually, 100 offenses, hypocritical, but still practicing devotional life. 1,000 offenses becomes more difficult to follow the regulative principles, but you still have a chance. And 10,000 offenses, we lose the ability to perform devotional service. So that's when things get really serious. And certainly we need to guard against these things happening. Offenses can be very powerful. Even when committed unknowingly, there is a story of Srila Rupa Goswami. Once he was very deep in meditation on Sri Radha and Krishna, and sometimes those pastimes and those stories are very relishable and can be humorous also. So he was actually experiencing some kind of ecstasy and was laughing. At the same time that he was laughing, a senior Vaishnava walked past who had a physical impediment. He had some kind of deformity physically. And as he walked past, he heard the laughter and thought that that was directed at him. Immediately he left the place feeling very sorrowful and hurt. Immediately after that, the bhajan of Srila Rupa Goswami went down. He felt that the spiritual potency was leaving him. So he didn't know what to do and consulted. He consulted Sanatan Goswami, his older brother, in a mood of Guru, approaching Guru, and said, "I'm experiencing this problem. Can you please help me?" Actually, this is a very good example for all of us that if we are experiencing some difficulty in spiritual life in any aspect, chanting, listening, hearing, following principles, we need to take shelter, consult a senior devotee, and try to catch that thing immediately. Don't try to cover yourself with illusion thinking that it's okay or it's not happening. Better to immediately check it. So in that sense, Srila Rupa Goswami approached Sanatana Goswami. So he explained the situation. I don't know what to do. The bhajan is down. Spiritual potency, I'm not feeling so strongly. So he said, okay, you must have made an offense to somebody. And they couldn't think who. So Sanatana Goswami said, please, let's organize a huge feast. If we organize a big feast, then everyone will come. If one person doesn't come, we know then that is the person who has been offended. So they did. They made a very big feast and so many preparations. Everybody came from the locality except for one person. So they found out who that person was. They went, and then the story unfolded that they explained in detail what had happened. He felt offended. Where is the offense actually? Had not been genuine, it not had happened, but still, because he felt, he was a genuine senior Vaishnava, he felt offended, the bhajan of Srila Rupa Goswami was affected. The converse is also true, that even if somebody does not take an offense, but you have actually committed one, then that still acts, it still has the ability to act and affect our practice. We should remember that we are living in a hospital, actually. This society is meant for our healing spiritually, and so we're in the hospital, you're living with many sick people, and sometimes even the doctors get sick. We should understand that also. So it's not that we are living in the perfected Vaikuntha stage right now, but we are living in the association of devotees, and we need to take this very seriously, that this is our life and soul, to remain in this association, never leave it. Actually, aparad can rob us of our potency to see this, or our ability to see the spiritual in anything. That actually, we can start through offenses to not see the devotees in their spiritual context, to not see the holy name, the spiritual aspect of the holy name. Actually, we can, as far as not to see the spiritual nature of the Lord. Sri Krishna actually revealed a portion of his universal form to Duryodhana, who could not see it. Could not see it. That was due to offenses committed. And the samskaras that are created in the mind and body are difficult to remove. Sin actually creates samskara in the mind and the body. Even that is difficult to remove, but aparad touches the soul. And when that, the soul is touched by that offense, it's very, very, very dangerous and much more difficult to counteract. Aparad has a tendency to repeat itself and perpetuate itself. So once again, to guard against that, we need to take very careful shelter of the devotees and the Krishna Conscious Society that is Srila Prabhupada has given to us. Actually, we are living in Mayapur in a community with 2,200 foreign devotees who are registered as residents right now, and 3,000 to 4,000 local devotees. So we have a huge community, and there is great opportunity to commit offense in this association. So we should not be eager for that opportunity. The very rare situation that we are in, we should understand that how many of us in this world, how many living entities get the chance to have the association of a devotee, even for a second, let alone to be actually in this Krishna Conscious Society to the extent that we are today. The rare opportunity to have found the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to be in the association of ISKCON. The importance of ISKCON, we have to understand that Srila Prabhupada has given us something very, very special. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam 4, Canto 9th chapter, verse 11, in the purport, this Srila Prabhupada says, the significant point in Dhruva Maharaja's statement is that he wanted the association of pure devotees. Transcendental devotional service cannot be completed and cannot be relishable without the association of devotees. We have therefore established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Anyone who is trying to be aloof from this Krishna conscious society and yet engage in Krishna consciousness is living in a great hallucination. A great hallucination. For this is not possible. So Srila Prabhupada is stating it quite emphatically here, the importance of remaining in this association of ISKCON. This mad elephant offense is the most dangerous thing to protecting our position in the association of devotees. Absolutely. And His Holiness Bhakti Chara Maharaj highlighted three instructions for us as members of this institution. He said, three instructions from Srila Prabhupada that he feels are the most important for us as members of this institution. Your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate. No matter what happens, never leave ISKCON. And number three, the GBC is the ultimate managing authority. If we can remember and take to heart these three things and be very careful in our dealings with devotees, then we have a chance of remaining in the association of devotees and remaining on the path of Krishna consciousness. Especially for those of you who are residents of Sridhar Mayapur, to have this rare opportunity to reside here, you know, which is practically the spiritual world, I would consider to be very careful in leaving this association. It's a very rare gift that we've been given. But whatever we do, we should never leave the association of devotees. We should never leave ISKCON. Always stay with ISKCON, no matter what. And we will be safe under the shelter of Srila Prabhupada. This is Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON. And to show our love for Srila Prabhupada by how we cooperate, actually, it will take a very high level of commitment to this instruction for us to do what we have to do going forward as a society, to manifest this TOVP, to manifest the city of Mayapur, and to establish ISKCON and the spiritual principles as given by Srila Prabhupada throughout the world. That's going to take immense cooperation. So I beg all of you to take that seriously, that spirit of cooperation. Always try to see the good in other devotees. Always try to see their spiritual nature. And try to take our own humble position into account at all times, so we're able to chant Hare Krishna peacefully. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. There are any questions or comments? Is there a microphone? Okay.
If a devotee wants to be part of this community full time, like you were saying, you need people, and the devotees need to be in ISKCON, and ISKCON Mayapur needs people who contribute their lives, their time, their efforts.
Yes.
But at the same time, they have to accept a very meager wage for their efforts. You know, like to get a job here in Mayapur, somebody might be a construction engineer, or they have other talents that they could, go back from where they came from, let's see, and make a lot of money, you know, like maybe, you know, $200 or $300 a day. And then here in Mayapur, they have to work all month and get $200 or $300 in a month, and have to live off of that, you know, with a, you know, with family sometimes, and so many needs. So how can they compensate to stay enlivened and enthused in their existence here when they're under such a, you know, financial constraints?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. First thing is that whatever the financial constraints in Mayapur, the spiritual benefits outweigh them by uncountable amount. So first thing is to develop a desire to be here no matter what. And that's not easy to do, as you mentioned, with the economic situation. I can say that it is being addressed. I am serving in a responsible position in Sridhar Mayapur, and we are working very hard at trying to build, for example, apartments which will be for the use of our servants in the town, so that they can be situated very nicely, and that the remuneration situation can be addressed. We're also looking at different models. What does Varnashram mean? What does it mean to take care of a full-time devotee? Not always it's a monetary thing. In the early days, many devotees will attest that the way things worked is you lived in a very simple condition of life in an ashram. Even the men, married men and women, were staying separately and living in that ashram condition. You yourself know about these things. And that everybody ate prasadam communally together, and had some basic maintenance. So this model may work for some people. For those who are, we have very many different kinds of devotees. Some are very surrendered. They come here, all they want to do is have a humble existence. Even they are very high professionals. And others need something more. So we will try to accommodate all devotees who want to do service, as long as there is a need and they're able to work with us. But the current situation, there's many devotees are suffering, and that's not acceptable. We're trying to address that. Thank you. Anything else? Comments or questions? Krishna Lalya? You're saying shouldn't the offenders be taken out in a heavy way? Yeah. So remove. Sometimes we remove people from the association of devotees as the management. Now, that's a very difficult and sensitive issue. Although we don't remove them from the association of devotees entirely, that's very rare. Excommunication from ISKCON is a very sensitive thing. But sometimes we remove people from the association of Mayapur Dham. Now that's done, as you know, on a case-to-case basis. If we feel that somebody is at the point where they need to be protected from their own offensive nature, and they have to spend some time. But we do try to rehabilitate people, offer counseling or some kind of alternative to correct. So Srila Prabhupada's mood is to pray for each and every devotee that they become free from whatever condition has afflicted them, that they have become offensive and come back to ISKCON. So we pray also for everybody. As you know, we deal with many cases in the community, and some of them are straight crazy people, and like the leprechaun the other day, and others are genuinely developing an offensive nature, and we have to try to correct them. So we'll do our best. Approach somebody senior immediately, fall at their feet, and try to get guidance. If your mind is open to accept that guidance, you have a chance. We all have a chance, you know. And also reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a very important point that Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj made, which I found really, really sweet. He said that read Srimad Bhagavatam, read these stories in a mood of self-analysis and self-reflection. That, like I said in the beginning, that this Bhagavatam is meant to teach us, not so much teach the people in the, you know, the players, the participants, Krishna's dear associates. It's meant so much more to teach us. So when we read Bhagavatam, we can, if we read it honestly, in a mood of honest self-reflection, we'll see that I'm so far from that level of devotion, or I'm definitely committing that offense. Or I may be progressing, and you'll see that also, that according to Bhagavatam, maybe I'm making some progress. So Bhagavatam is a good source, and somebody senior to guide. I always check with senior devotees. I ask Ganga Prabhu, I ask Hansarupa Prabhu, my Guru Maharaj, anybody I can get time with. I ask them how I'm doing in spiritual life or in management, or as much as they know me, how you know, how, in the spheres that they know me, how am I progressing or not progressing, and what I need to work on. Regularly I'm doing that, so I think that that's a good practice for us. Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.